We'll proceed to the fourth case of the day, Frausto Jaramillo versus Attorney General Holder. Ms. Pena, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court. This case is before this Honorable Court as a result of Mr. Frausto Jaramillo having been issued a notice to appear, having a place in proceedings, and the immigration judge denying his application for cancellation of removal under Section 240AB of the Act, a decision which was affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals. And the basis for the denial was that it was determined that Mr. Frausto Jaramillo did not meet the exceptional and extremely unusual hardship requirement necessary under the statute as it pertains to his citizen children. The nature of the case deals with questions regarding whether there is a constitutional violation in the application of the law by the board through its precedent decisions Monreal, Andazola, and Resinas, and the legal question relating to a proper comparison group when determining hardship under Section 248B of the Act as it pertains to citizen children. Considering that in the United States only approximately 5% of the total population of citizens under the age of 18 are citizen children of undocumented parents, and that hardship cannot be compared in a vacuum since there needs to be a comparison group against whom to measure hardship, the legal question here is what is the proper comparison group when citizen children, in determining hardship to citizen children, if their parents are deported, against whom do we compare these children? Do we compare them with other citizen children, or do we compare them in the manner in which has been done by the Board of Immigration Appeals in a very segregated manner so that you don't compare them to the citizen population at large, the children under the age of 18, but you just compare them to this small group, 5% of citizen children from the total population of under the age of 18, of undocumented parents.
How many is that 5%?
I'm sorry?
What number of people?
It's out of approximately 74 million individuals citizens under the age of 18 in the United States, only approximately 4 million are citizen children of undocumented parents. So doing a division, it's approximately 5% of that population that are citizen children of undocumented parents.
Well, they don't even know who most of them are, do they?
I'm sorry?
How do you compare them to them? Because they're technically not going to be here either. I'm normally looking at this from a standpoint of how you measure this, except subjectively in the people who you're dealing with. How do you compare them to others? I know you look at other cases where someone has a lot of relatives here, for instance, when you
yes.
were complaining of that. These people don't have enough relatives here.
Well, the questions to be answered when determining hardship, you look at many factors such as family ties, acculturation, access to an education, access to health care, etc. So the question would be, how would any citizen child fare if that child was forced to grow outside of the United States?
So it's like my kids. If they're going to be shipped out, you compare it to them, huh?
You compare it to any citizen child.
Don't speak another language, or they're not, don't have any culture in another place.
Well, it has been recognized that when you interfere with a child's education, you are interfering with that child's future participation in the political process. You are interfering with that child's future ability to vote, which is a fundamental right. And the
that's in every deportation. There's no question about that. Obviously, if you send them to a less developed country with poor economics and poor education,
that is correct.
So that means nobody has to go.
Oh, no, that is not the case. We are talking about a specific section in the law, Section 248B, where you have to meet other elements in order to qualify for cancellation of removal. And one of the elements is that the alien needs to establish that removal would result in exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to either a parent, a spouse, or a child that is either a United States citizen or a permanent resident. And when you look at the laws, aliens are governed by the Immigration and Nationality Law. By the INA, and citizens are allotted other protections that are guaranteed by the Constitution under the 14th Amendment, under the 5th Amendment. And what we are saying here is that the board in establishing the precedent that they have established, they are disadvantaging the citizen children. This is a suspect classification.
What is the exceptional, extremely unusual hardship that these people encounter as opposed to someone else?
How would any citizen child, would it amount to exceptional and extremely unusual hardship for any citizen child? And you look at the statistics, 95% of the citizen children in the United States do not face the prospect of deportation, of constructive deportation. So the question would be, would any citizen child, how would that child suffer if that child has to grow up outside of the United States, not learn the American culture, not learn English? The classification that is created by the board in Monreal, Andasola, and Resinas is similar to the classification that was created in Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal. They're saying, oh, you know what? The moment you are judging hardship on this small, segregated group of citizen children, then judges can say, oh, this child speaks Spanish. This child can go and study in Mexico. They have access to an education there. Well, you know what? It's not the same type of education that they would have here in the United States. And
it concerns me, Ms. Pena, that the argument you're making here seems to come pretty close to making it impossible to remove anybody who comes to the United States who's undocumented if they manage to have a child who becomes a U.S. citizen.
No, Your Honor. That would be the argument that many present when they talk about anchor babies, because in order to qualify under Section 248B...
Anchor babies?
Well, many people argue that you can come and have a baby here and you become a resident. That's not what we are arguing at all, because we are talking about a very specific section of the law where, in addition to establishing the necessary hardship to a qualifying relative, the individual needs to have been here more than 10 years, be a person of good moral character, not have been convicted of any specified offense. So you need to satisfy all of the elements in order to qualify for cancellation of removal. And we are just asking that a basic, that a fair measurement standard is applied as it pertains to these citizen children, which is not being applied. Within the section where you have to establish hardship to a qualifying relative, they talk about permanent residents. Well, permanent residents are governed by the Act, and they talk about citizens, and they talk about fathers and mothers and husbands and wives, and they talk about children. And all we're asking is that as it pertains to citizen children, that we give them the full constitutional protection as due process requires, and that they be compared to any other citizen child when making the hardship determination to them. And I think I'm on my rebuttal time.
Can I ask you one more question about this? The statutory language is exceptional and extremely unusual hardship, right?
That is correct.
And I would think it would be pretty easy to say, whether you're talking about the 5% of children who are children of undocumented parents or the other 95% who are children of citizens or documented parents, removal of a parent would impose a hardship on all of those folks, right?
Well, and also when a parent is removed, a child, generally a citizen child, is also constructively removed from
right.
the United States. And therefore, we are asking that this court issue instructions to the board as to the proper comparison group.
My question was not sufficiently clear. Extremely unusual hardship, exceptional hardship, meaning different from other people. Now, I would think that it might be easier to argue that if you're comparing to a child of citizen parents, that the removal of those parents was likely to be impose a lot more of a hardship on children than the removal of a parent who still has family ties in the home country.
At the end of the day, we're discussing the standard utilized as it pertains to measuring hardship to citizen children. So first of all, a citizen parent is not subject to the immigration laws, because we're discussing a citizen, but we're just focusing on the comparison group. And we are just asking that the board be asked to use a proper comparison, a comparison that is not segregating why only compare between this 5% of citizen children of undocumented parents? Why not let them be compared with the citizen children population at large? And also, in the precedent decisions, they are compared to hardship of an alien. They are comparing citizen children to aliens. And again, we are talking about two different classifications that are governed by different laws. And if I can, I'd like to save some time for rebuttal, if I may.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Pena.
Here.
For the Attorney General, Mr. Hogan.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. In the instant case, the review petition should be dismissed because the agency's decision comports with due process. The petitioner was afforded a full and fair opportunity to present his cancellation of removal application with the assistance of counsel at all times during the course of multiple proceedings where all of his documentary evidence was fully considered. The agency's decision is fully consistent with the law and with the certified administrative record. Therefore, the review petition should be dismissed because Section 1252A2B Roman numeral I limits judicial review of all discretionary decisions of the agency with respect to applications for cancellation of removal. Regarding the petitioner's claim that the board's decisions have an improper standard for considering cancellation applications, as we pointed out in our opening brief, those are based on mischaracterizations of the board's decisions. It's taking sentences out of context. The board has always held that the hardship that must be established is whether the alien, the applying alien that is removed, whether his or her removal will result in hardship to the United States citizen qualifying relative. The board has never held that the United States citizen relative, comparing hardship to that relative to non-citizens.
Well, they'll have to be here more than 10 years. That's for starters, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Now, there's another one that says good moral character, et cetera. This man, he had expertise in concrete or something?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, and he'd had a business for a number of years.
I believe at the time of the removal proceedings, he had just begun his own corporation.
Did he have a visa or credentials at some point where he got a Social Security card and all that?
The counsel is not aware of that, Your Honor.
There's nothing in the record about how he ran his business and whether he used cash or whether he...
To counsel's knowledge, no, Your Honor.
I wonder if that comes under the good moral character issue.
In any event, Your Honor, the agency didn't deny the application on the good moral character issue, so this court would not...
You didn't deal with that, huh?
No, Your Honor. The agency's decision in this case was strictly limited to the hardship requirement.
Okay. And obviously, this is exceptional, extremely unusual.
Yes, Your Honor.
So normal, it's not comfortable for anybody, I assume.
Yes, Your Honor, and I believe that was the point of the agency's determination in this case, is that unfortunately for the petitioner and his family, under the hardship standard, you have to have an atypical case where there's something that is extreme and exceptionally unusual. But in this case, it's the average hardship. It's all of the hardships that would be expected in any deportation case, which, again, is unfortunate for the petitioner, but that's the law.
Well, it's especially unfortunate for children.
Yes, Your Honor.
Citizens.
And also, just regarding petitioner's argument that the board requires a showing of more relatives with a lawful status remaining in this country, again, that's a discretionary factor. The board has never held that having more lawful relatives in this country automatically entitles someone to cancellation.
Well, I know in her comparison to all of us, like me, my kids, if I'm shipped out, I think, as Judge Hamilton pointed out, it'd probably be a lot tougher on me than someone else who's at least been there.
And again, Your Honor, as this court previously held in Levia, in dicta, it's unclear how expanding the comparison group would have any effect on the cancellation statute. A petitioner would still have to establish exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. Does the panel have any other questions?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Rebuttal, Ms. Pena. How much time? Take two?
They're short. The children in this case were not allowed it under the current precedent decision a full and fair opportunity to present their case. The hardship to the alien under our current law is not even considered. Suspension of deportation was done away with, and now we have cancellation of removal. And the law is clear that the hardship needs to be as it pertains to, in this case, the citizen children. And when you look at the citizen population at large, the hardship has to be substantially different or beyond that which would ordinarily be expected to result from deportation. The great majority of citizen children, 95% of them in the United States to be precise, do not ordinarily face the prospect of constructive deportation or the risk of having their parents be deported. And when you apply...
Well, that's the comparison you're asking for, right?
That's what we want. We want the citizen children to be compared in a manner that is constitutionally accepted. Compare citizen children... You cannot compare hardship in a vacuum. It needs to be compared against another group. And we're just asking that the proper comparison group be other citizen children.
But isn't the hypothetical... You want a comparison, a counterfactual. And doesn't the comparison have to be... to assume the removal of the parent from the United States.
How would that affect any citizen child? How would, right. would that amount for a parent to be removed and causing the constructive deportation of a child, a citizen child, would that amount to exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to not have access to an education in the United States, to not have access to health care, to not have access to economic opportunities, the economic impact? All of these factors, the moment you narrow the class upon which you are determining hardship, you segregate them so that you only compare between them, you make it nearly impossible for that exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to be met. And that's why this application of the law is unconstitutional, it's discriminatory, it's disadvantageous. These children are not being given a full and fair opportunity to document exceptional and extremely unusual hardship to them. And that's why we are asking that this matter be remanded to the board with instructions regarding
Thank
what
you,
is the proper comparison group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement.